Hi everyone, welcome to Spedrum School Conversations. We are so happy that you are with us tonight. We are broadcasting live on the Spedrum School YouTube channel, as well as our Facebook page and our Periscope channel. So wherever you're joining us from, we would love for you to be interactive with us. And this month we're talking about extracurricular. So things that we often, with kids that struggle, we often put off because we don't think that we have enough time for them. But our focus this month is why you really should be doing them. And our guest tonight, I'm so excited to have Adelaide Olguin with me tonight from Talkbox Mom. And we're gonna talk about foreign languages and how maybe you should not be considering taking them off the plate and why. And so welcome, Adelaide. I'm glad that you are here with us tonight. Thanks for taking time out to talk with us about
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to talk about foreign languages to help struggling learners increase confidence, which is something we don't often think about foreign languages.
No, I think most people, when they think foreign language, they're like, this is going to make me feel terrible about myself. This is going to be a bad experience. Whereas the families that we have in our program, they often say, I didn't realize the family strengthening, family benefits that came from this. And I love your mission. I love what you do. And I love the families that you help. Mm-hmm. And we have so many families who they'll start this like with their you know, with their older kids or something. And then they'll be like, I didn't even realize that like my child who has like some specific special needs, like was listening and now they're speaking Spanish or speaking German or Chinese. And they're like, I didn't think about that. And I'm like, yeah, of course they can do this. And so I'm just so excited to talk about it and help you to see how you can be more confident as a parent and help your child be more confident. Because I know you're helping your child be confident. And this is just another way that you can really do that even more and focus in.
Yeah, that's great. That's going to be exciting to talk about because, I love that the parents find out that, you know, it's like this osmosis thing we find as we teach multiple kids, you know, they just got to come along for that. I also want to say thank you to Knotgrass History Curriculum for sponsoring this episode of Sped Home School Conversations, and we'll hear more from them later on. We, as Sped Home School, are a nonprofit, so we are sponsored or we are supported by your donations as well as our sponsors. So thank you for sponsoring this episode. So as we dig in, I thought I would ask you first, what got you personally involved in foreign languages?
All right. This is a good question. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good answer, but it's a good question. I took like the traditional route where you like take it in high school. Mm-hmm. And I actually was like one of those rare people who was like, this is awesome. And I loved it. But even though I was like getting like 100% on my tests, I found out that I couldn't actually use Spanish when I needed it.
I think that is like across the board.
Yes. Yeah, and I felt like this language learning failure, but I enjoyed like my time. I enjoyed the logic of it, but I was like, this did not work out. I'm bad. You know, I'm bad at this, right? Kind of thing. Right. And so, I just didn't do it. And then I had this friend who was like, Adelaide, we should, and this is in college, she's like at the university, she's like, we should go on a study abroad to meet hot guys. And I was like, yes. And so we looked at all these study abroads, and the only one we could get into was the German one, because you didn't have to know German yet. You could learn it there.
You could learn it there, yeah.
And so I just remember my dad driving me to the airport. I'm like 20 or something, right? And he's like, I don't really remember you studying German. Like what is this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going. And he was like, oh my gosh. Or no, maybe I was 18. I don't remember. It was that. But when I was there, I also like, I tried so hard, and I would go back to my grammar books and I look at my vocab. And then when I go to talk to somebody, I couldn't do it. And I was like, okay. So I'd go back to my grammar. I'd go back to my vocab. And I just like, it was just this like vicious cycle of I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And then my husband and I, we had the opportunity to put all of our things in storage and travel around the world with our kids. And so we jumped on it and did that. And I got my grammar books, got my vocab, and I was like, okay, we got this. And I had a 1 and 4 year old at the time. And so, so I like had out the books, you know, and they like shoved it on the ground. And my 4 year old was like, we didn't come to Brazil to sit in a room. And I was like, we didn't. And then it kind of hit me. I was like, wait a second. I taught these kids English and we never did vocab. We never did grammar, and they can already talk and they've never studied the grammar, right? And so I was like, I am doing this wrong. And so within a week from that moment, we were talking in and understanding Portuguese, and we were talking to locals and they were understanding us, because I made this massive shift. And I was like, I'm going to teach a foreign language like a parent teaches any language, you know, because your brain is already capable of doing that. And so, so if your child is like coming along with English, even just a little bit, they can definitely do a foreign language this way, because you're teaching it the same way you taught your first. And so from there, we like kept going to different countries and we kept having the same result. And then like lots of people are like, how are you teaching your kids all these languages? And I'm like, it's so easy. You just have to teach them the same way you taught your first. And they're like, wait, a little help here. How?
Right, how?
And that's when I made TalkBox.mom with native speakers all over the world, so that other families could just, you have the tools, like here they are, you can teach it like you teach your first language. And from day one, in the first couple minutes, you're going to be talking and understanding the language with your child. So it is like that confidence boost that you're like, I can do this, you can do this. And everyone's like, we are capable. And it took me out of that cycle of like, I'm not good, I'm struggling. And I think the funniest thing, Peggy, was that like, of course, if you want to be a good painter, you paint. If you want to be good at playing the piano, you play the piano. If you want to be good at talking a foreign language, you have to talk. You can't just do grammar and vocab. That's not going to get you to talk. It's the it's the wrong avenue. That comes after you can talk.
Right. Yeah. I remember going to Italy, and I had done, you know, I knew enough Spanish to kind of transfer to Italian, and the more I talked it while I was there, the more I understood and was able to converse. And but yeah,
that's so fun. I wish we were in Italy. I wish we were there. Oh, that's
have
fun.
To go back.
Yeah. What a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Yep. So. So how many languages do your kids know then?
That's it. That's so good. So we use regularly in our home, like every day kind of thing. We use Spanish, German, and English. But as they were little, we used ASL and also Brazilian Portuguese. And then there's just some languages that like we have started. And so we just use a little bit of those, but regularly it's definitely those three. We're going to add in Portuguese a lot harder this fall, but it is funny because when you know things, you're fluent in those phrases. And so sometimes when we speak another language, people have studied for years are like, what? And I'm like, we don't know that much. I promise. And they're like, you know more than me. And I'm like, I don't know. So I think regularly it's those three, but of course my English is sometimes questionable. So.
I think it is for all of us.
Yeah. Right.
So, I was talking to a lady this last weekend that was over at my house, and she said that her kids are learning Spanish and English and one other language. And she said, and her daughter uses all three languages in one sentence. And she's like, hey, you got to pick one. Just settle on what you're going to use and just use it.
Yeah. That's funny. That's cute.
So was it your husband that was influential then, or just kind of the process of learning and wanting to know more that just kind of got you interested in that? And
I think what it was is like when I was in Germany, I loved being there and I loved meeting new people and experiencing the culture and experiencing the chocolate, you know, all of the pretzels, all of those things. I just loved it. And so, you know, as you learn more and you're able to talk more, because I actually went back to Germany and I worked in the fashion industry there doing marketing. And so I had my first son there, right? You make like a connection, and it's just really beautiful, because when you can understand the language, you can understand their culture and history even better.
Right.
And I love that. So when we had the opportunity to go and travel, that's what I really wanted. And my thought was like, wow, we have kids now, we can't actually learn a language because they won't let us focus. But it turned out to be the opposite. It turned out to be that we could learn it even better because we have kids. Mm-hmm. And so like we have good friends from Brazil that we still talk to. We have good friends from Portugal, from Germany, you know, just all over the place, Mexico, right? Yeah. And I love that connection. And I also just being able to like help people in the United States as well that are, they need help and they like speak that language, is just, you can connect with them more.
Right.
So just, I think I just love the connection of it and the opportunities that it brings. And so that's where my interest is so strong in it, because it can dramatically change your life or your child's life. Like if your child was, we have families in our program where their children, they're like, do ballet. So they're learning Russian because they want to be able to communicate. Like, that's awesome. Or Italian because they're opera singers, or German because they want to do engineering, or, you know, like, so there's just like, it changes. And your child could be like, mom, I really want to do Japanese. And you're like, whoa, what? But really, like, whatever language you choose, it's going to bring new opportunities to your life. Mm-hmm. And so it's really fun to see how you can do that. I like that about it.
Yeah, it really is a community thing, language. I mean, it just connects us with people and with experiences that we aren't going to have just speaking English. I mean, you can go to a foreign country and it's not the same. Because I remember when we were in Italy, we just took some back streets, you know, down alleyways, and found restaurants where there was no English spoken. And those were the best places. They were like mom and pop shops. And, you know, we kind of struggled through, but they loved it. They loved that we were trying and were willing to work with us and figure out what we wanted to eat. So
I love that. I have like a little wild story about that. Can I share it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, like I said, I use German with my family, and I didn't realize that I had German ancestors because they came here in like, it was like 1849 they came over. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, as I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, now I know German and I have ancestors there. Mm-hmm. And so I went on a trip with my mom, my grandma, who's, her family's from Germany. So her great grandma's from Germany, her grandma, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah, her grandma. And so, no, that's not right. It's too far back. But anyways, her family's from Germany. So I went with her and my sister and my sister-in-law. And so we had this fun trip. And then we stopped at the village that one of my family members was from. And this village happened to be like my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma, you know, like really far back village. And I'm trying to tell this right. And I'm like, I'm totally failing. Okay. So we go to this village and we are just looking around, and in Germany, like, once you don't pay for your headstone, they bury somebody else on top and put a new headstone. So we're like looking at the graveyard. Wow. We don't see anybody with the last name. The dates are too soon. So I'm like, they don't have it. And then this older man was on a bicycle with his granddaughter, and he stopped it in German. He's like, oh, what are you guys doing? And I told him in German, I said, oh, we're looking for my ancestors. I have to say, I think the one that we're looking for was like my third great grandparent or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he looks at my list of, I like wrote it down. I'm not good at about genealogy and kind of history stuff. I'm not good at it. But I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and he's looking through it, and he gets to the last name on the list, and he goes, oh, they have been our neighbors for over 150 years. And he's like, their kids aren't here right now, and the lady died, but my mom is still alive and you can come talk to her. So we went into their home, and they gave us like Apfelschorle, like a German drink. And she looked at all the names and was able to tell us every village they were from. And she's like, oh, they came down here to get married because this is where the church is, but they're really from here. Hmm. And just all these things that were, you know, and I could, she had like kind of backcountry kind of German. So it was a little trickier, but you know, we figured everything out, and it was really fun. And we ended up going to one of the other towns, and a lady at the town hall there, I told her what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, so she called everybody in the town with that last name. And they came with like their pedigree charts that they were like given for celebrations to see if we were related. Uh-huh. And there was this one older German guy who's like, he's like, so we're not cousins? And I'm like, no. And he's like an older man. He's like, so can I have a kiss? And I was like, oh, we might be. So it's just, you do have these experiences that you wouldn't have otherwise. And like, that to me was like, things like that don't happen to me. It was really cool. And we ended up taking a picture in front of that home with my mom and my grandma and myself. So that's just really cool that I can have that experience with them and, you know, just see where they all came from. So, this can be surprising, like what can happen with it.
Right. Yeah. You think, oh, we're just going to learn a foreign language, but there's so much more involved that can personally affect you. I mean, just like your story. So,
I think that connection was influential in doing this. And then also definitely, my husband, I was the one who said to him, I was like, I call him babe. I was like, babe, any mom could teach a language like this. Anybody could do it. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. He goes, okay, we'll leave to Mexico next week and you can develop it and we'll get it done. And I was like, okay. So we went down there and that's where we developed the first language that we did. And so he's been very helpful and he's like, okay, we can do this and just setting it all up. So that he was amazing helping start things and get things going.
So how many languages do you have now?
We have about 11 languages. Our program goes full all the way through, I want to say 7 of them. And then some of them we have like part of the program in the language so people can get started. And then later we'll add on the rest of it. So because we have some languages that families are like, I adopted my child from Romania. It's really important. Yes. And I am like, we'll make it for you. I have to do this. So of course it's not like super cost effective, but it's important that people can have that connection. So like Romanian goes to box 6 instead of 9, but later we'll add on as more families do Romanian. And so there are some languages that I'm like, I had to, you know, I can't just do Spanish.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's, you know, the second language learners, that is a whole section of special education. And a lot of it is adoption, and parents are going, how do I teach this child when I don't even understand them? And that is helpful to make that connection.
Yeah, so we have, right now we have Spanish, French, German, Italian, Chinese Mandarin, Japanese. Those go all the way through. So maybe that's 6, but I could be missing one. And then Romanian Hebrew we have. Wow. And Brazilian Portuguese. Ooh, I can do this. Russian and Korean. Russian and Korean are just getting started. So
Russian is a hard language. I went to Russia a couple years ago. And even with the alphabet being completely different and, you know, reading it and going, well, that says restaurant, but it looks like it starts with a P, but, but it's not a P. very confusing, but very fun because my son and I actually look, our background is Czech. And so when we went to Russia, everybody, you know, they say Drasvice, and I was like, yep, that's what I know, and that's all I know.
Oh my gosh. I love going to Czech Republic. I love it. That's one of my favorite places to go. I would love to get, like, just for a couple months, get an apartment in Prague because it's pretty cost effective and just stay there or stay somewhere else. But yeah, really nice people there. So
We stayed in St. Petersburg and Moscow.
When you're in Russia, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
My son who has dyslexia, he went with me and just had the time of his life. Loves language, loves people. He wants to, as soon as all this COVID stuff is over, he really wants to have jobs overseas. So that's kind of his
That's awesome.
Thing. So, yeah. So as far as, you know, like parents and having a student who maybe struggles and being an encourager, a catalyst of them, because I know we can get in our minds, especially students who maybe have been to the public school and now they're home. We see a lot of that now. And they were told by so many teachers, educators, yeah, well, you just got to focus on the stuff that you're not good at. And so just to come around, what advice do you have for parents on how to maybe be that encourager, that motivator, that, you know what, just because somebody told you that doesn't mean that you can't try?
Yeah, I really like that. I think first of all, just knowing that when you do a foreign language, you're also helping your child improve their English as well. You're helping their math yes. skills improve, because the same part of your brain that does foreign language also does math. Mm-hmm. You're helping your child become more focused, make more logical decisions, right? It's just, it's a yeah. good thing overall. And how our program is set up, it's like you have these phrases that you use naturally, like, are you hungry? I'm hungry. Put your food in the, or put your plate in the sink or on the counter in the dishwasher, right? Things uh-huh. you really use. And so you have this opportunity, because these benefits, they don't come from just studying a language. They come from actually using a language and being bilingual.
Right.
And so when you use these things and you do them, you have the opportunity to have those benefits. But then it's just like, I love that you said your son has dyslexia, because we have a team member who has dyslexia, a strong team member that we just mm-hmm. like absolutely love. And for her, I mean, a lot of people ask her like how can a child who's like has dyslexia do this? And it's because you start with talking, then absolutely, right?
Right.
You can do it. Exactly. And so I think just really playing to your child's strengths instead of focusing mm-hmm. on the things that people were like, oh, you're not good at. Because that was kind of like a lot of things for right. her, that she was told she couldn't do things. Even in like school, I go, what did you do when they asked you to read? She goes, I would count before it got to my turn and I would go to the bathroom and miss it. Like she had her way around it. Right. And so, but she is one of our, you know, just an amazing employee. Like, I just love her. Mm. And it's because we like focus on her strengths as well. And it's the right. same thing with foreign language. Like, even though your child, maybe they're struggling with reading or writing, the foundational layer of a foreign language is listening and talking. And so if that's something that they can do, then foreign language is really great. And so you just want to focus really small, like just make a small focus, like, yes. okay, today we're just going to start whining, I'm hungry, in Spanish, because we already whine it anyways in this right. class. Right? And then, like, you as a parent, if your child's resistant or they're worried about things, what's so beautiful about our program is you're doing it too. So they're watching yeah. the mom who's like, I can never teach a language. And by the way, I'm always like, girl, you taught your kids to speak. Yeah. Like, you did this once. You got it. But like, they'll see you doing something that you don't think you can do and do that. And they're going to take that memory with them too. Like, my mom didn't know how to do this, and she tried and she did this with us. And like, what an example right. for them to have when they leave the home as well. Mm-hmm. And so as you're pursuing this, we really like to make things light and make them fun, and we don't have this like rigorous pace. And so for if there's a special need in your home, then that's amazing, because now you can go slower and you can take the time to have fun right. with things, and yeah. and that's wonderful. So, and also just like not being so focused on results and perfection right away.
Yes.
For it's so important to know, for a foreign language, it will take you a couple of weeks to a couple of months to hear all the sounds being said. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing a program that has a microphone and they're like grading you from the start and you can't move forward.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Scientifically, yeah. it's impossible to sound good yet. Like yeah. you couldn't, because you can't hear the sounds.
Right.
So yeah. like, so for us, we have this rule. It's called the adorable baby rule, that you would never say something to, you only say things to people if you'd say it to an adorable baby. So like a baby, if they're like, wah, wah, you wouldn't be like, it's water. Like, you don't know what you're saying. You never do that to a baby. You'd be like, oh, you want some water, right? You'd like model it back. Mm-hmm. And so in our app, it has all the native speaker audio, so you can hear it again and again without anybody rolling your eyes, being like, did you not sleep? Why can't you remember things?
Can't you do this?
You can hear it again. And like throughout the day, just like hitting play, saying it, and then putting yourself in a situation to practice it, and then just starting to add it to your life. Because our goal is that you use the language. And so soon right. you'll like, after, you know, a week, you have a couple phrases layered in. After a month, you have a lot of phrases layered in. And after a year, it's like a regular, you know, it's a regular part of your day. So every day you're just going, you're going deeper and deeper, and you're keeping things light, and you're being encouraging, how you would with a baby. And so it feels fun. It doesn't feel like this hard foreign language work. It's just, you're just doing it like you naturally.
Right. It's just part of your daily conversation, and you can just use it as you use it. I remember I interviewed somebody, well, way when we first started this broadcast over 2 years ago. She said, well, why don't you do therapy or tell your child to do their chores in a, you know, in a foreign language, because then it's like more exciting.
It's true. I actually, like, when I've had my babies, I really like doing a foreign language because it helps my brain not, like, because it's so routine, you know,
right,
like,
yeah,
feed,
just the monotony.
Feed you, change, not sleep. Feed you, change, not sleep is like our cycle, like no sleep at all. and you know, we have a whole guide. So we have it for older kids and younger kids, and you choose like what you want to focus on. But we have a whole guide for changing a diaper in a foreign language, you know? So it's like, it, really, so it can apply it to your life. We also have a whole guide for your child to clean their room in a foreign language. So yeah, so it just kind of makes things really fun. I woke up to a message this morning of one mom. We have this like exclusive guide for people who have our second box, and it's our outdoor walks, like neighborhood walks. And it starts off with things like, I don't want to go, it's too hot, like my feet hurt. And then it's like, if you don't go, you can't play video games. If you don't go, you can't, you know, like things right. we say. She was like,
say, yeah.
She was like, foreign language aside, this really encouraged me that like all the other people's kids do this.
Exactly. This is a normal phrase.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of options. We have options too if your kids are perfect. I don't know. My kids are not.
So. Oh, sure. I'll put my shoes on right now.
I know, right?
I love following directions.
To our chore chart, it's really funny. It has like typical things that like a mom would, like mom say, not to be like dad say this, but we had some dad things like, I pay for electricity. You gotta do your chore kind of thing. But we also had, we snuck in there. It's like, of course I'll do it. I'm your favorite child. We're like, wouldn't that be the dream?
Right, exactly.
It's just, everything is so real to life that, you know, that you use it, at any stage. Exactly. So it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, when we come back after our break, I want to talk to you about learning versus using, because I know that's something that you love talking about, and that'll put us in a good spot to talk about just when we look at curriculum in general, the approach that we should have versus, you know, this is just our curriculum we're going to use this year and we're just going to do it. So
awesome, that'll be fun.
All right, okay, so I'll give you a quick break, and we're going to hear from our sponsor, NotGrass. History curriculum. So thank you, NotGrass, again for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. NotGrass history curriculum gives parents a flexible set of tools that you can adjust to meet the needs of each student in your family. They use readable typeface in their books to make reading easier for students and parents. Of course, hundreds of full-color photographs and illustrations provide a rich experience for visual learners. All the courses include hands-on activity ideas for students who like to write, draw, build, and create. Marilyn from Pennsylvania said this about NotGrass history. She said, it is such a delight to see my son retain and enjoy history, especially as he has learning disabilities that can make it difficult to retain information. Your curriculum is one of our victories. So you can try NotGrass history for free. Just see how it works, if you visit their website at notgrass.com, which is right there. If you're watching the video, of course, if you're listening on the podcast, it's just notgrass.com. So thank you again, NotGrass, for sponsoring this episode. And we're going to have Adelaide back. And so, yes, we had a really good first half conversation. And also want you to know, if you're watching, you can be part of what we're talking about. Just put some comments, questions in the feed down below, wherever you're watching us from, on Facebook, YouTube, or on Periscope, and we should be able to see that. So
we love comments. I love answers. If you have any questions, or you're like, I don't think I could do this,
right.
Write it down. We'll talk about it. Because if I honestly think you can, I'll tell you that you can't. But I doubt that's the case. So let's talk about it. If you're like, oh, that's kind of holding me back. Yeah, totally comment.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, but yeah, we're going to talk about learning versus using. And
a foreign language.
Yes, foreign language.
It sounded funny.
So, but I think oftentimes when we by something, we're like, oh, our child is going to learn this. And we get so set on that mindset of, well, we got to get this lesson done and this lesson done, versus making it a usable material. So something that's consumable. And so talk to us more about that.
Yeah, I briefly mentioned at the beginning, like, I learned Spanish in high school, mm-hmm. but then when I needed it, I couldn't use it. Right. And my thought from there, I was like, why did I spend 2 years doing that and trying ridiculously hard at it?
Right. It is really hard to learn a language like that.
Yeah. And so the difference of learning a language focuses on the mechanics of the language. How does the language work, right? How are verbs conjugated? What are the verbs? What are the nouns? All that, all those kind of direct object, you know, all that kind of thing. That's like the mechanics of it. But if I went up to a mom in Mexico whose 3-year-old is speaking Spanish, and I was like, so do you drill verbs? Do you do vocab?
Right.
She'd be like, whoa, lady, like, what are you talking about? It would just be very silly, because that's mm-hmm. not how a language is learned. You learn it by using it, mm-hmm. right? You have to jump in and start using it. It's really based on a lot of needs and wants. And so choosing phrases your kids need or want is important. Using mm-hmm. phrases from activities you do daily is super important. Mm-hmm. And so really learning a foreign language, there's different layers of it. The bottom layer, the biggest, most foundational layer, is listening and talking. That's where it all starts. That's where it started in your home, because when you're a baby, you're talked to, read to, sang to, then you start talking and singing and maybe watching videos if you're allowed screen time. And then you start telling stories. Like, a 9-month-old is not telling stories, even though they're talking a little bit, right? And then you go on to reading, writing, and grammar.
Right.
So when you start with reading, writing, and grammar, the mechanics of it, you lose the whole foundation of it, and it just makes it really hard. So this listening and talking stage, it involves, you know, hearing music, watching videos, and really when you watch a video and hear music or listen to music, you're really listening for phrases you've been using, and your kids will pick those out and they'll know it. So I had one mom who's like, my kids like understood what Shakira was saying in a song, like singing really, it came on the radio. And she's like, mom, she wants something, like right when it came on, you know, because they used that language in their home. And so they can understand it. Mm-hmm. And the next layer that you're adding on is this reading and copy work layer, and then you get into like hearing something and being able to write it down, and then you move on to finding the patterns in the language and the grammar.
Right.
Grammar is so much easier if you have examples.
Yes.
Yeah. So my child, he was like, I said, well, you have to write an orange, and he's like, why would I do that? And I was like, because that's how it works, right? But it's like, it starts with the vowel or whatever. And then I was like, well, think about it. What else do we say? And I put some examples, and he's like, I do say that. Okay, I believe you, mom. I'll do that grammar thing. I'll make sure. But it's just so helpful when you have heard it so many times. So other languages are no different. Once you heard it, it's like, oh, there's examples. We've had, I think this is a fun one. If 5-year-old in our program, she was saying something, there was, I'm excited in French, for how a female would say it versus how a male would say it. And then her daughter had picked up on the patterns for lots of different, how genders would say it. And she's like, boys say this, girls say that. And it just changes in this one way. So she, as a 5-year-old, could pick out the rule, the grammar rule. Right. And so it's just something we really want your kids, instead of being told, hey, this is the rule, it's them being like, why is this question mark in Spanish upside down at the beginning of the sentence? Like, I want them to see that and be like, what? And so it allows Spanish or Japanese or whatever language to do what that language does. Yeah. And then it allows you to go back and reflect on it. And so when you can actually use a language, you can talk to somebody, you can experience the culture, you can take part of it. Right. But when you learn a language, you just understand the mechanics of it. Mm-hmm. And you come from a place of anxiety when you want to talk to somebody.
Right. Yeah.
I would prefer that if your children were in a job interview and they're like, do you know Spanish? They're not like, well, like, I took it in high school. school. And dads are like, sí, hablo español. Like, they just go off and they start talking. So that's just like such a huge difference. And and I see it too, like you said, in other aspects of doing school. I see that so much that I really want my kids, what they're learning, it helps them build one skill or another.
Right.
So it could be that what they're learning is helping them learn project management skills, and it's not completely tied to the thing. So like some of the science things that they might learn, I'm like, you're never going to hopefully not blow something up in real life. I'm going to apply that. It seems kind of bad. Right. But as they do it, I'm like, what supplies do you need? How do you order them? What do you need to do? And I make sure they manage the project, because for me, project management is super important. And I see this with foreign language too. Like as you work on foreign language, you learn how to set goals, go after the goals. You realize that you don't get much done if you don't work on it, which is a good life lesson. Yeah. And so just things those kind of things are really important to me. And as we learn anything, I just really love to tie it to real life and make sure it's something that they'll do. Otherwise, I am also like, I'm as bad as a high schooler. I'm like, why is this important?
Right.
So
exactly.
I want to make sure it's something that they can really use and see the point of. Otherwise, there's some things like I spent time on that I'm just like, why? And so I feel like it, even like, I mean, of course, if your child has special needs, like I said, focusing on the things that are going to really like bring out their talents and their skills is so important, and growing that is really good. But even if they don't, that's still really good to do.
It is,
because the world
stretches
takes
them.
Yeah, the world takes all different kinds of people. We don't need everybody who's perfect writers. We need people who are good at talking and managing things and negotiating, right? And so I feel like just them knowing what they're learning, if they can use that, it's part of them, it's going to make them a successful adult. And the things that they're struggling with, like, sure, if it's important, they need to do it, but I don't know, the other stuff I'm like, nah. I don't know if that's what people want to hear, but
no. And you made a good point about how it when we use something, that it the mechanics come naturally, and we don't need to explain the why behind it. It's like, I barely taught my kids grammar because we talked a lot. We read a lot of good literature. You know, you do all these things. Well, you should learn good grammar just because of that, because of what you're listening to and how you're conversing. And
100%,
it just comes naturally. Yeah, it's the exact same. So, all right. So when you encounter families that have struggling students, what are some strategies that you've heard from them or that you suggest for them to try out? Just to say, well, you know, don't prejudge this, or both for the student or the parent, on how to maybe launch into something that may seem a little taxing or scary to start.
Yeah. So I think there's two different kinds of struggles. You could have your child just struggles with the topic in general, and then you also have your child's resistant to the topic. Which are you're like, you could do this, but you don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the first one first. So if your child is just struggling, so let's say some of your kids are picking up on the foreign language and you have one that's struggling and maybe not saying things back as much. For this kind of thing, you're still using the phrase in your home. It's part of your life. And so just having that peace inside, knowing like that you taught your kids one language, you know, they can learn a language, right? If they've done that, just knowing like, yes. I mean, there's some school districts out there who they only expect 50% of their students to pass a foreign language. Right. And that would be me like, oh, I hope half my kids learn to talk, as long as there's no extraneous circumstances.
Right.
And I expect my kids to talk, and you should expect that with a foreign language too. Mm-hmm. And so just having that piece, like, yes, it will come. And then also, instead of focusing on immediate results, focusing on having fun. So pull mm-hmm. away from that and do that. And then really this sometimes you as the parent are the one who's making your child struggle. I know that's hard to stomach.
It is, but it is true, and it needs to be said.
Yes. And I'm guilty. I've said things. I'm like, oh, I did not encourage that. Right. But just looking at it and being in, it can often be like one of the ways you're making your child struggle is that you're just doing way too much. And maybe you should just do one thing, and you should be right. celebrating that one mm-hmm. thing. So instead of focusing on mistakes and being like, oh, that wasn't right, or you said that wrong, or you missed mm-hmm. that, you're like, you talked, yes. Because when your baby says their first word and they're like, ba, and you're like, oh, they said ba, right? You're making a
right,
baby.
Exactly.
And your parents are excited. But for some reason, when it's like foreign language time, people are like, no, not good enough. That's not what it is, la, 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 right? And so really pulling away from results versus celebrating everything can be really helpful as a parent. And then also when your child does say something wrong or it just sounds terrible, just modeling back the correct language. So you might open the app to hear the native speaker audio and just hearing it. And then also taking that piece, like, I know it takes time. I know that this is going to help and be really good. And so then you're not discouraging your child. I'm somebody who, like, surprisingly so, I do not like crafts. They give me so much anxiety because I would go to like these church groups and we do a craft and people would be like, yes. Oh no, Adelaide, mm-hmm. like this. No, not like that. Like this. This is it, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, when you're doing something new, uh-huh. you don't want people like constantly correcting you. You're going right. to shut down, which kind of moves us over to the resistant learner who mm-hmm. has just kind of been shut down so much that they're like, I don't want to do this. Or mm-hmm. we'll see it where like the parent knows a lot of the language. And so they're like talking at their kid
yeah. uh-huh.
instead of getting on the same page and being like, oh, we're going to work on these two things. When I say, like, I'll say, are you hungry? Tienes hambre. And your response is tengo hambre, right? We're going to start using that and just going over it mm-hmm. and making sure it feels good. And you know, you're celebrating it as
right.
it happens
yeah.
can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
If your child is super resistant, it could just because they need to observe first. They don't want to just
right.
jump in yeah. and talk. And so I love the inspire, don't require mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so mm-hmm. if you're just like, I love this, like, I'm in it. I'm in this for me. Like I have been
right.
doing Korean in my home because I grew up in a part of Los Angeles that a lot of people were from Korea. And so nobody in my family is like, I want to learn Korean also, mom. That sounds great.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, this is awesome. Our program just came out with some of the Korean. And so I'm like, I got food from a Korean restaurant. I had mm-hmm. us watch a Korean. Well, I watched a Korean. I only ordered the food for myself and my husband, not even for my kids, because I don't want to hear them complain.
Right.
And so like, I ordered the food and I'm watching this Korean drama on Netflix to like, I'm loving everything. Right.
Oh.
And my kids come up, they're like, what is this food? And I'm like, oh, I ordered it from a Korean restaurant. And they're like, well, can we try some? And I'm like, I really like it. So I don't know if I want to share. So then they're having it. Right. And they're like, oh, this is really cool. And then a couple weeks later I ordered on DoorDash or not DoorDash on Instacart. I ordered all of our food from the Asian grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's try this and this. So we got like little seaweed packages. Everyone was eating it because I'm just like, this is awesome. And then I am the one who's like, as I'm doing my hair in the morning, I'm like listening to the Korean phrase, like, bagopa, are you hungry? And I was doing it. And then my sister-in-law, I was showing it to her. And then my child was supposed, one of my kids was supposed to be in bed. And he like, he's under my bed. I didn't know it. And he like pops out from underneath and he goes, bagopa, which is I'm hungry in Korean.
Oh,
and I never taught it to him. Never. Not once. But he was like, I'm because they're not supposed to eat after dinner. That's like a hard rule mm-hmm. in our house. But he's like, maybe if I say this in Korean, my mom will be
exactly.
And so like,
bonus points.
Yeah. So just like me bring that energy and that like fun to it, that's something that they're they had no intention of doing it, they'll do.
Right.
And I see that with German. My older child, he would much rather speak German than Spanish. Mm-hmm. Not because we hate Spanish, but just because, like, I love German so much. Mm-hmm. And then once we did another trip, we went to Mexico for a couple months, and I was using Spanish the whole time. It was so fun that now he's like, okay, okay. And they'd order their own food, mm-hmm. food in Spanish and doing that. And so that too in itself, and I know we can't travel as much right now,
yeah.
but also having a trip planned tied to it.
Yes.
Can make it so fun because then your child can see, oh, this works. And it could even mm-hmm. just be a trip to a Mexican restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
And you can use your Spanish or a trip to, you know, a restaurant where there's native speakers. It can mm-hmm. be really fun and they can see it happens. But I think the biggest inspiration, whatever struggle you're coming from, mm-hmm. is your child just seeing that this works. And so something we encourage yes. a lot uh-huh. is, like, if your phrase is, like, I don't know about you, like, when your kids were younger, but for me, I'm like this beautiful goddess in my home that tells everyone to put on their shoes. It's like what I do. Right? So I'm always like, put on your shoes, right? So this is a great phrase to do in a foreign language. So it's in our phrase book. And so when you start teaching your child, for example, you would say, you would hear the native speaker say it, and she says it word by word and pauses. So you're not like, oh, what just happened?
You don't have to, like, yeah, blend them all together and go, yeah. Where does one end and start? And
yes. So she'll go, ponte los zapatos. Ponte los zapatos. So you can, like, hear it out. And if the full phrase is too much, just do the word by word, just like a little mm-hmm. kid would, right? So you do that. And I would say it to my kids. I'd say, like, ponte los zapatos. If they didn't know what I meant, they have, like, this look, like, you know, those kind of things. I would just be like, that means put on your shoes in Spanish. Ponte los zapatos. And I'd say, you say it to me. And they're like, ponte los zapatos, or whatever, right? They're just yelling. I put on my shoes. That's when they're like, oh, that worked. That did something.
Uh-huh.
And that's like a big moment for kids. And that's something we encourage with every phrase, that mm-hmm. your child hits this point of, oh, it worked. And then you're like, you put on your shoes, right? And then you're like, ponte los zapatos. And then they put on their shoes. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful. And then, I mean, you saw in that example how I wasn't correcting their crazy pronunciation.
Right.
Because they're just starting. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that they're starting. And I know with time, as long as they're not stressed, they'll be able to learn and do a lot better. And so when mm-hmm. you bring that to the table, it's just like, it's a fun thing that they're going to look back on and be like, I learned to use Spanish with my mom. Like,
mm-hmm.
or my dad. It's just so wonderful to have that. So, yep, that's how we help anybody who's struggling.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, you don't think often of language having a cause effect, but when we talk to people, it's a conversation. It's not just the word putting words out, where we're asking for a response, whether it's physical or with the, you know, a word or just an answer. So, that's the whole interactive part of language.
Yeah, you can
we
see
miss
like
so much when those grammar books.
That's what I was comment on. I'm like, you can see how the mechanics is different than using it, because you definitely want that cause and effect, and that's it's just so helpful for your child to see that. Mm-hmm. So of course, if your child has a special need like that, if they're able to, like I said, if they're able to do English, even a little bit, mm-hmm. they can do another language. And we see that happening a lot. We've actually had, we have one family in our private Facebook group for all the families in our program where we do a training once a week. We also do like a post on Monday to check in, a post on Friday, but everybody mm-hmm. can check in each day with what they're working on. And we do a prize that we ship out, and it's like something cute from TJ Maxx mm-hmm. for one of the people who checked in. So we do that every week. So like, we love our community. So I'm like, oh, another person in our group. I just love our talk about stuff on families. But one family in our group, they adopted their child from another country, and their child mm-hmm. has been struggling with English and having and just other disabilities going on.
Yeah.
And so this mom was like, my child who barely speaks English is now speaking Spanish with us because we help you to be so intentional that you're like,
right.
I mean, it's really what a speech therapist would do with English, right? Mm-hmm. We're like so intentional about it that it's like, Oh my gosh. So I've seen even kids who are barely speaking English are like making lots of progress, which is also helping their English as well.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, and if you have to speak Spanish, I guess, or whatever other language, maybe that might be easier. You can learn it together and go from there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I know my son couldn't say his R's when he was young. So we gave up on Spanish just because the whole, you know, he couldn't even say it in English, let alone roll an R in Spanish. And so we started Chinese. Because they don't use ours. It worked well, but yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I wish we would have had your program, because the program we used frustrated my kids a lot.
I know. So. I was thinking, he can't say his R's. I'm like, that's okay. There's people in Mexico who can't say their R's.
Can't say an R either.
You know, I've heard that before from some people I know from Mexico. They're like, I can't roll my R's, but it's okay. Right? They just have that little bit of slur to it.
Right.
That makes it unique and fun. Because, I mean, the point of language is to communicate.
Yes.
Like, let's say somebody from France started talking to me and they had a French accent. I wouldn't be like, oh, gross, you don't know English. I'd be like, where are you from?
Yeah.
But exactly. We're so mean to ourselves as English speakers learning a language that we're not as kind. But when you think about it, how many people in the United States speak English with an accent?
Oh, yeah.
Millions,
different
right?
Regions. Well, yeah. Like here in Texas.
Good old Texan accent. But there's just... We're not mean about it. And so if you're really worried about your accent, the one step is to just get over yourself, because there's so many people who speak with an accent and it's okay. Yeah, you know, exactly. It's not a problem. And so, yeah, I wish we were there for you when your child was young, so that he could feel confident and even not being able to use his R's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is cute.
I know.
I was going to say, for the R's, did you go to a speech therapist then?
We did, but we found diet change was what, he had sensory issues in his mouth. And when he made that sound, that was what was bothering him. We changed his diet, took a lot of the sensory stuff out, and he spoke just fine. Because otherwise he spoke like he was from the Bronx. And I was like, we live in Minnesota. What's going on here? But yeah, it was just a diet change for us. So
that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how all of those things can get so involved with that.
Yeah, I have a sister who also her needs change based on her diets, and it can affect her speech as well. So that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I mean. You can do so much speech therapy, and yeah, I love what you said about, you know, yes, we just have to get beyond it, that we may not, be able to say that, and that's fine. And I think people that critique other people in foreign languages and, you know, try to say, well, you've got to have the perfect accent in order to be able to communicate. No, not so true. It's funny because my brother and sister-in-law lived in France, up in the mountains. They were there for a contract. And she said, you know, you think these French people are really stuffy. The problem is they don't want to make a mistake. They've been trained in their schools not to make a mistake with their language. And so they just don't. But she said, when you start making mistakes and trying, they realize that they can try English too, because they know a lot of it, but they just don't want to use it. And so it just opens up new opportunities when we're not perfect, but if you're trying.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I really like that. Because, the point is to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really fun opportunity that they had to talk to it. But I think a lot of us in the United States could relate to not wanting to make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and it being really scary. And really, to learn a foreign language, you have to make tons of mistakes. It's part of it. So if you don't make mistakes, you can't get better. Mm-hmm. And you want to make mistakes and then correct them, you know, like modeling back correct language, hearing it back correctly. That would be like in English, my son, he used to say, I want to sit to you. And I'd be like, oh, you want to sit next to me? Like, and just model that back so that he could hear it. But when we're little, we're not like so worried about all our mistakes. And then we become these adults who are so worried. And so you really have to like just love making mistakes. We have some families in our group who they have these jars and they'll take pom-poms, which I thought they were called poof balls all my life. I actually called my mom and I'm like, Mom, everyone's calling them pom-poms. I thought they were poof balls. Or actually I said, what are they called? And she goes, poof balls. And she goes, oh, but everybody else calls them pom-poms. I'm like, never do that. Never got that memo. But they'll do it whenever their kids try, they'll put a poof ball in the jar. Just try, not even, nothing about being it perfect. So their kids learn trying is what's important.
Right.
And then once they'll do like parents versus kids, and whoever gets their jar filled first, they get like maybe a date with mom or a can, like something fun.
Right.
So just to encourage the trying. It's good to make, you got to make mistakes, and it shouldn't be like, you're bad.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just you try it, and one step closer to getting it better. Awesome. Well, we're about out of time, so I do want to put up Adelaide's website. It's talkbox.mom, and they can find you there and just your curriculum as well. And your website has a lot of really good information for parents and questions that you have about that. So I had the privilege of having a booth next to Adelaide at a conference, and it was just so fun to listen to you talk to parents and just explain your curriculum to them, and it was exciting.
So, yeah, when we could go to conferences.
When we could go to conferences, exactly.
Yeah, and I was going to say also, if you guys are on Instagram, we have at Talkbox Mom. You can follow us, and we do a free phrase of the day calendar for the beginning of the week. And you can get that for free. You just DM us. And if you have questions about anything I said, you can DM us there. And we have a free starter pack in the link there where you can get a whole starter pack for whatever language. So if you're not sure what language, or you're like, I don't know if I could do this with my kids, you can just try that out and see if you can do it. And I think you'll have a lot of fun. Yeah. And if you have questions, we've got answers. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Well,
thank you so much, Peggy.
Yeah, this was fun. I thank you just for all that you had to share. It was very encouraging. And I hope our parents took some good things away, because like I said at the very beginning, we prejudge what our kids can do, and then our kids do the same things if they've been told that, you know, boy, you can only, you know, you can't even do this. How could you do that? And we put up a lot of barriers for ourselves as well as them. And they don't need to be there. So thanks for destroying a lot of those myths for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we want to thank Knotgrass History Curriculum for sponsoring this episode of Spend Homeschool Conversations. You can visit them at knotgrass.com and check out their curriculum as well. And then we're going to continue on the same track of extracurriculars. Next week, we're going to talk about finances and teaching financial literacy to kids. And I know a lot of parents, you know, that ends up being math for some kids that struggle in upper levels of math. And so Jeff, let me see if I can get his name.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome next week. It's gonna be so good with finances.
So Jeff Taransky wrote a book for parents on how to teach financial literacy to your children. So it's, he calls himself your financial Sherpa. And so that'll be fun. And so bring your finance questions and just, how do I teach my child, you know, to make change and all of these things that, especially for kids that really struggle and they need those life skills. He'll be able to help us with that. So that's what we're talking about next week. But so thanks again, Adelaide. Loved our conversation. This was so fun. And thank you all for joining us. And we'll be back again, same time, same place next week. And until then, have a good week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.